Great. We're going to focus on the highlights of Yevamot Daf Mem, Shorei Oraz highlights of the Daf HaShavua. Very, very interesting topics in this Daf. I'm just going to focus on three of them with some interesting ramifications. First of all, basically, it teaches us there's this concept of achila, gasa, ina achila. If you are going to be eating something and it's gross eating, coarse eating, that you're full and you're just forcing yourself to eat. If that kind of achila in Yom Kippur is patur, you haven't violated Yom Kippur, at least not on Doraita level, because the Torah says lo tuneh, someone who's punished is not tuneh, who's not afflicting himself when you're eating, it's the opposite of afflicting yourself. But this is not really considered to be eating. As the Gemara says, that achila gasa, mishme achila, it's not considered to be achila. So he's not eliminating the affliction. In fact, eating in the case would be an affliction. Now, you have to bear this in mind. This has halacha l'maaseh for every single Shabbat, except Shabbat of Yom Kippur, of course, and that is if Shabbat falls on Yom Kippur, and that is before the Suda Shishit and Malav Malka. Suda Shishit, especially in the early winter months, late fall months, when it's the time for Suda Shishit is 4 or 5 o'clock. If you just finished your meal at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, and you're going to be eating Suda Shishit, you have no room for it. That may not even count Suda Shishit. That's a chilag asal. That's what we say, chacham inav brosho, that he shouldn't totally stuff himself for the Suda Shnia. He should leave a little bit of room to be able to have a Suda Shishit without it being considered to be achila gasan. The same thing in the summer months, that Shabbat's going to be later, and by the time you finish Suda Shishit, if you have a large Suda Shishit, and then you're not going to have any ability to have the Suda Revi'i, to have the Malav HaMalka after Shabbat. So you have to leave room for Suda Shishit in the short Shabbatot, the long Shabbatot, leave room for Malav HaMalka. Shouldn't either the Suda Shishit or the Malav HaMalka should not be Suda Revi'it, Suda Tevira Melech, that should not be it should not be considered to be achila gasa. You're just forcing yourself to eat where it doesn't really count as achila. That's number one. Number two, very, very interesting here is the Gemara says you can in here talk about Pesach. It's interesting, works out well for us. The world thing about Pesach, as the Gemara says, not here, elsewhere, it's supposed to start preparing Pesach 30 days before Pesach, all the halachot. So now the interesting halacha that comes up here is that if someone does chalita, someone boils flour, it prevents it from being chametz, boils flour, and then they bake it. Okay? Boil, then bake. No, it's still considered to be, that's fine. It's like you bake the matzah. Which is interesting. You may think that baking doesn't count, because this is afiyah char bishul. So this would seem to be a raya to the poskim that believe that there is afiyah char bishul, that there's no bishul achar bishul, but there's afiyah char bishul, which is a whole machlok of Rav Yah and the Urayim. It's interesting, Ashkenazim are machmir on this, Asfaradim are mekel. This Gemara, I'm sorry to say this, seems to be a little more like the Ashkenazim, that it's considered to be afiyah char bishul. So this seems to be a raya. Again, there's ways to respond, but just to raise that for now. Finally, interesting halakha is that there's a concept of shniot la'arayot, that just like we know on Shabbat, there's an Yisur Shvut, there's a whole 39 melachot asumi d'orayta, the Rabbanan made protective fences around it as well. So too, when it comes to arayot, the forbidden relations, that their chazal extended it, and they created more prohibitions, and that is the so we call that the shniot la'arayot, and that is the secondary prohibitions. Here's an example. So someone is not allowed to marry achot gerusha. He's not allowed to marry the sister of his divorced wife. Now it makes sense. You don't want somebody to divorce his wife just to marry his sister. That would be not a happy situation, to say the least. So therefore, as long as his wife is alive, even though they're no longer married, but once they were married, the wife's sister becomes asur b'chayah, as long as the wife is still alive. If she died, God forbid, then marry, can't, the sister and the husband can marry, the wife's sister, and that sometimes is done, especially the children. And that can be done, and sometimes maybe even should be done. It'd be a good interest of the children to be raised by their aunt. And there's a lot, the mother sister. There's a lot, mother sister is a lot like the mother figure. So there's a lot to be said for that. Now, Chazal extended that his shniot la'arayot. And as they said, that achot chalutza, that if a woman gave chalitza to a man, right, then to a brother-in-law, and now he can't marry her sister. So in other words, we don't want somebody choosing chalitza over yibum just because he wants to marry the sister, because he can't be married to two sisters at the same time. So he thinks, oh, I divorce her, so it's well, chalitza, I won't do yibum. I'll be able to marry her. No, so we want to encourage yibum with the proper person, with the almana, not with her sister, and therefore Chazal made the gezeira. Just like can't marry a chod gerushan, a Torah lover can't marry the wife of a divorced, the sister of a divorced, of someone's divorced wife. So too, they can't marry the sister of a woman who gave him chalitza. So this is very, very loud. It's just a little taste of the many issues that are here in Yevamot Daf Mem. Wishing everybody a great week with much bracha, much bracha.